I find that I'm passionately
leaving. Leaving.
Well, hello everyone. Today I want to have a look at the state of the British economy and ask the question, are we actually on the brink of a 1976-style IMF bailout, which is what people like Nigel Farage have been claiming in recent weeks. I also saw Andrew Neil talking along these sorts of lines. Is this slop or sloppulism, or is this in fact true? Now, because of the facts and figures involved, I've had to make a number of notes here, so bear with me. Just before we get going, if you're interested in topics like this, Foundations of Economics, the first, the original, some might say still the best course at the academic agency you can do. Also available, Foundations of Shakespeare, the most recent one, Trivium, Foundations of Research, Entrepreneurship, many, many other great courses. Foundations of Politics is another great one. Pick them all up now, and I will continue. So where does this claim come from that Britain is on the brink of a bailout? Well, one of the issues is that 30-year gilt bonds are at a 5.6% yield at the moment, which is pretty high. To explain what that means, that is the interest that the British government owes on the bonds that it issues, in a nutshell. So the higher those yields are, the more debt repayments the British government has to make. But the 10-year yields are up on the gilts, and the 30-year yields are, you know, at a pretty high level, 5.6%. We have a fiscal deficit of £500 billion, okay, which means that, you know, there's pretty significant debt servicing on that money, okay? 5.6% of 500 billion, you can work that out. Now, the reason why people, why economists are saying that this is all hype, that we're not actually going to have a 1976 situation on our hands, is because in 1976, we had to pay our debt in foreign currency, and changes have been made so that now Britain borrows money in pounds. And because of that, it can basically probably get away with this without the IMF coming in, because it has control over its own money. However, there are a couple of things that are exacerbating this crisis, one of which is the credit rating. Moody's, S&P, they downgraded the UK fairly recently from a AAA rating down to a AA rating, which means we're not at the top level of credit rating anymore. And that is because debt has reached 100% of GDP. We also have weak growth, which I'll get onto in a second. And if the credit rating is downgraded even further, the borrowing costs will probably rise by another £5 billion, £10 billion annually. Which we haven't seen. Well, in fact, we did see that recently under Rishi Sunak, but it could get back to the kind of COVID levels. Speaking of COVID, COVID is a huge, often not mentioned in the mainstream press, factor behind all of this, because Boris Johnson's government, when Sunak was the Chancellor, borrowed £400 billion for COVID spending. That was the furloughs. They took out loans, debt increased from 85% to, like I said, 100% of GDP by 2022. And that all of this means, with the high interest yields as well on the gilts, Starmer now faces £90 billion yearly servicing costs. With gilts, 10-year gilts at 4.8%, and like I said, the 30-year ones at 5.8%. So these are pretty, like, so we're £50 billion in debt, and the cost of it is £90 billion a year. That's how much we are. So £50 billion is not the total debt; that is the annual deficit, and on that we have to pay back $90 billion every year. That's including the interest. Okay. Now, on top of the COVID debt, which is the highest debt since World War II, we also have the cost of Ukraine and the energy, the energy nonsense that went on. The Russian war basically inflated our energy costs by £20 billion in 2022 and 2023. There were subsidies that had to be brought in, price caps, and Starmers had to keep these on. And, of course, the widening deficits year on year means that energy prices now in Britain are three or four times higher than they would have been, and they are three or four times higher than certain other countries, like America, for example. Also, cost of Ukraine. Cost of Ukraine aid. Britain has spent something like £6.5 billion in support to Ukraine, giving them weapons, giving them loans. Starmer has pledged £15 billion extra pounds for NATO spending, you know, owing to those sorts of commitments. This strains the budget. This pushes the credit. This risks the credit rating being dropped further, and it pushes those gilt yields even higher, which basically means the servicing of the debt gets higher and higher each year. If you're wondering, by the way, this is a 2018 K. Dorsey number 54, excellent premium Cuban cigar, age 5 years. More than 5 years, 7 years of age on this now. Mm. Anyway, let's continue. So, there's also been a balance, a budget balance problem, obviously, because, you know, you don't get a yearly deficit if the books are balanced. Starmer, in the budget in October, left a £20 to £40 billion deficit, and he posted growth in Q3 of last year of 0%. 0% growth. Record immigration from Boris Wave and Sunak. Record immigration, 0% growth. Can you believe that? And then add to all of that COVID debt, Ukraine costs, tax hikes, the cost of energy and fuel, and also plans to borrow a further £300 billion. So this is one of the things that got the credit agencies alarmed, and how the rating went from AAA to AA. Now, if you have a look at growth under Boris and Sunak, Boris for 2021 posted 7.6% growth, but that was coming out of lockdown. That was recovery after everything ground to a halt under COVID, so it doesn't really count. That growth slowed to basically back down to zero, 0.6 Q1 2024 under Sunak. And basically Sunak posted 0%, 0.1, 0.2 for the time that he was the Prime Minister. And that has continued into Starmer. So there's basically like almost zero growth in the country, despite record immigration. Okay, so the argument that immigration leads to growth, even GDP growth, is a lie, because we're seeing quarter on quarter, year on year, almost 0% growth from those record numbers of people coming in, and of course it's causing havoc in the country. Now, on top of all of these problems, I've talked about Ukraine, I've talked about COVID, I've talked about the cost of resurfacing debt and gilt. There is also the issue of Ed Miliband and net zero. Now, let's not forget that net zero madness actually started under the clown Boris Johnson. Okay, he, to please his wife or some bullshit, started this. Okay, and now it's continued under New Labour, who've gone even more crazy on it. The cost of net zero is something like £800 billion by 2050. You know, projected £30 billion of yearly spending, that is. Okay, now this adds to the cost of the COVID debt, it adds to the Ukraine debt, and this mental spending on net zero crap risks downgrading our credit rating even further. And also, because there's already an energy crisis, it's going to cripple industry and accelerate deindustrialization in the country, which is basically the last thing that we need. I've talked about the gilts. People have called it, right? People have called it a moron premium, the gilts, and citing net zero madness as part of the reason. So, what's the takeaway from all this? Because we service debt and take loans now in pounds and have to repay them in pounds, the likelihood of the IMF coming in like they did in 1976 is low, okay? Because back then there were a different set of rules. Now those have changed, and so there's no gold or silver standard. There's no paying it back in dollars or anything. You pay it back in pounds. This is one of the, quote-unquote, benefits of currency sovereignty. So it's unlikely that the IMF are going to come in. That's the good news. The bad news is, are we up shit creek without a paddle? Yes. Things need to happen fast. They need to massively reduce the deficit by cutting spending somehow. Where they're going to raise taxes, they've already been trying to raise taxes wherever they can, this government. They face a rebellion over cutting costs. The net zero thing needs to go. Ideally, they drop support for Ukraine, right? As a matter of fiscal and monetary responsibility, okay? They'd focus on, reindustrializing and getting the country back on its feet. None of those things are happening, as far as I can tell. Net zero is accelerating deindustrialization. Starmer's all in on Ukraine. It is also said that we're on the hook for Ukraine debt. So, yeah, the economic outlook is bleak, to say the least. If the IMF don't come in, what is going to happen? Well, we're just going to get further and further into debt. We could see increased inflation, perhaps. Who knows? Maybe the government will find it more and more difficult to borrow. We could get a downrating of the credit, a downgrading of the credit rating. None of these things are good. None of these things are good. We need a massive shake-up in the country. And I don't think the Rachel Reeves, Rachel from Accounts, as she's often called, is the one to do it. So I wish I could have a more cheery video for your friends. There is a silver lining. The IMF probably aren't coming in. That's a bit of hype. But the situation is bad. There's just no other way to put it. Situation is bad. All right, join me later on for office hours. Catch you tomorrow for tomorrow's video. Pick up a course and get out. If you liked this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.